part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Wow, oh, wow, 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 wow. All right, coming back from a short break. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 99, part two.
99 part 2, John.
99 part 2, Scott.
We got...
How you doing there, buddy?
Some miscellaneous, and we got some science stories.
You might want me to hotten you up a little bit?
Because we like the science. You know, we could have done this during the break, John. Yes.
Yes, yes, we could have. Sorry. Just wanted to hotten you up.
When you hotten me up, what does that entail?
I just give you a hotter signal.
Hotter. I feel hotter.
I dumb down some of the bass and I heat up your...
That's hot.
...treb and mid. How's that?
It's hot, John.
It's hot. All right. We're back here. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
He's John.
He's Scott.
All right. You got it.
I got it.
Nice.
I got like two comments.
Two of them?
Two comments, my friend. What do you think of that?
It's out of sight.
All right.
Sight.
Out of sight. We got cutting edge nonsense. Without John and Scott, we wouldn't know that clear-headed people existed in the U.S. This webcast may be the single most important export from America. It must carry on forever and ever. Otherwise, the consequences could be catastrophic. That's from Mark Spooner, Scott.
It's out of sight.
It says here, sore feet. Nice to see that... Tetition is having some effect. Power to the people and all that. All we need now is for Scott to get rid of those uncomfortable flip-flops and get some proper footwear. Come on, Stefan C.
Nice.
And that's it. That's all we got, Scott.
I think we got one more.
We do?
It was on the other page.
What page?
Forget about it. Let's move on.
You got it? What other page?
I'll show you after the show.
What? Wait, what?
So anyway, that reminds
from
me, John.
From who?
Have you heard of High
from
School
who?
Musical?
Wait, what? Wait. What other page?
Well, other page?
There's no other page.
At Podcast Alley?
Yeah.
Sure there is.
What do you mean?
Click on comments. How many comments do we have?
583.
No, just for this month.
I read the one from Pauly B already.
You did?
Yes.
How is that possible?
Because we did a podcast on the 1st.
We did?
Yes.
Was that a Sunday?
It was a Sunday. You dumbass.
Yeah, I can't really remember too much from that podcast.
I was really fucked. Nice to hear you guys getting armed forces on the show.
Oh, right on.
Also nice to hear their drunkards.
Good I remember
Lord.
That. That's because you were pouring drinks that night.
Do we have what chance do we have in battle against fundamentalism when the Allied forces are fundamentally leathered? Pauly BX.
That reminds me, High School Musical. John, are you familiar with High School Musical? With Zac Efron.
Yeah. He's gay, I heard, right?
I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, they put out a CD of all the songs, and then they also have all the songs minus the vocals, which I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
But my daughter pointed that out to me, and she is jazzed about doing a duet.
A minus one.
Doing a duet with me for the podcast.
Okay.
So we've been practicing. And we can come in sometime and record that, baby, for one of the shows.
Yeah, record it. Why do we got to record it here?
Where else are we going to record it?
I gave you a fucking mic.
We need two mics, though.
In a mixer. No, you sing together on the mic.
Sing together.
Holding your headphones, going, sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, sha-na-na-na-na.
No, it's not that. Oh, and the other disturbing thing I heard, I thought Avril Lavigne, what separated her from the Hillary Duffs and the Lindsay Lohans was she wrote her own stuff.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't write any of it. A ton of lawsuits are coming in about all these songs that she ripped off from other people. And put her goddamn name on.
Who is that?
Avril Lavigne.
Are you serious?
Yeah, earlier in the in the year, we played songs we were into, and you played Killswitch Engage, maybe, and I played an Avril Lavigne song called Girlfriend, and it's a ripoff of a song from the 80s. I knew I heard this song before. Instead of Girlfriend, they say Boyfriend in the other song. I want to be your boyfriend. She changed it to Girlfriend, and then she puts her name on the, like she wrote the whole goddamn thing.
Mito Tot. To me.
So she's getting her ass sued.
Wow. I like the new Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
I haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard any of her new tunes?
No.
She wrote them all.
It's out of sight.
It's heavy metal. She's playing some heavy metal.
Heavy metal.
Did you see any of the Live Earth concert?
I did not.
Yesterday?
No.
Yeah, they had the Live Earth concert, right? So when you think about it, it's all about global warming and this, you know, this big carbon footprint we're leaving. And people were getting interviewed in the UK, and they're like, "Yeah, what's this bullshit? America's going to lecture to us about global warming when they're the biggest fucking polluters on the planet?"
Right on.
And then on top of that, you got to think, okay, all those hundreds of thousands of people had to drive to this concert, burn up fossil fuel, and then they had to fly all these rock stars by personal jets, private jets, to all these concerts to make it on time.
Isn't China overtaking us as the world's top polluter?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other thing about the Live Earth, that's Al Gore, right?
Yeah, Al Gore.
Did you hear they just pulled his son over?
Yeah.
Al Gore Jr.
Al
the third.
Al Gore Jr. the third. The heck, a Jr. the third?
And you know what he was driving?
He was driving one of those Toyota Prius.
Right.
And
with
Toyota's,
some alcohol and some pot.
And Toyota's like all excited because they advertised that he was driving like 100 miles an hour. Oh my God, it could go that fast. We're going to sell millions of them. Yeah. At least he was being environmentally conscious.
Environmentally.
Mentally.
Mito tot.
So anyway, check this out. I got this story. It's I chopped it up a little bit because it was really fucking long. But it's Bill O'Reilly and this guy who's a crime, they're Fox's crime analyst. He's supposed to be some sort of a cop. And they're talking about the story about lesbian gangs that are invading and gay gangs that use pink pistols that are invading the U.S.
They're responsible for the war on Christmas, aren't they?
Yeah. Here it is.
Back in the book segment tonight, 29-year-old Wayne Buckle was attacked by a lesbian gang here in New York City last August. Four of the women received prison sentences. In Tennessee, authorities say a lesbian gang called GTO, Gays Taking Over, are involved in raping young girls. And in Philadelphia, a lesbian gang called DTO, Dykes Taking Over, are allegedly terrorizing people as well. Joining us now from Washington, Fox News crime analyst Rod Wheeler. And there's something going on in Maryland, too, where you live.
That's right.
What exactly is it? I have never heard of this. Tell me what's going on.
There's this national underground network, if you will, Bill, of women that's lesbians and also some men groups that's actually recruiting kids as young as 10 years old
in
a lot of the schools and the communities all across the country, and they're recruiting these individuals to be a member of their organization.
These organizations are
kind of set up sort of like a fraternity or a sorority, but they're very violent, and they actually carry a number of weapons, and they commit a number of crime. The other thing, too, that our viewers are going to find very, very interesting is the fact that they actually carry, some of these groups carry pink pistols. They call themselves the pink pistol packing group. And these are lesbians that actually carry pink pistols. That's 9mm Glocks. They use these, they commit crimes, and they cause a lot of hurt to a lot of people.
All right, detective. Thanks very much.
Okay. He calls him detective. So anyway, you know, I heard this thing, and Olbermann went off on him about it. And I go, this cannot be fucking true. So I type in Google, O'Reilly, lesbian gangs, and I get this story here from the Intelligence Report. Intelligence Report, it's called. a quarterly magazine updating law enforcement, the media, and the public on activity it investigates. The project has also established law enforcement training to help officers identify and respond to hate crimes. Okay, so the authorities disagree with this knucklehead. What they say is 9mm Glocks painted pink, dykes taking over. More than 150 lesbian gangs in Washington, D.C. area alone. These claims as Wheeler suggested, very, very interesting. They're also very, very flimsy. Gaithersburg, Maryland Detective Patrick Word, president of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Gang Investigators Network, an intelligence-sharing organization of 400 criminal justice professionals in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia, said there is no evidence whatsoever of a lesbian gang epidemic in his region. Our membership reports only one lesbian gang, Word told the intelligence report. Sergeant Brett Parson, a member and former commander of the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department's Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit. Liaison Unit? That's funny.
Liaison.
That's funny, Scott.
Unit.
Also question Wheeler's numbers. We have 150 to 175 total gangs in the D.C. area, and out of those, only 9 were the predominance of members are female. He said, you simply can't make the jump that they are all lesbians. I think it is fair to talk about violence and female gangs, but to sensationalize or marginalize a community by making a statement like that seems irresponsible. When this guy was confronted by the intelligence report, Wheeler was unable in several phone and email exchanges over a 2-day period to specify a single law enforcement agency or officer, police report, media account, or any other source he relied upon for his D.C. area lesbian gang claim. But he insisted that his report was accurate. Because God said so. No.
Well, yeah. Well, no, that's exactly it. O'Reilly has his own agenda.
Right.
And we played clips last week with his sun goes up, sun goes down, oceans come in, oceans come out. I'm going to go with God until somebody can prove me wrong. And again, in this story that you had here, he says, I think the theme is, these groups are recruiting young kids.
Yeah.
Like you can recruit a kid to be homosexual.
Right. Can it turn him into a gay?
But that's what this idiot believes. So that's the line that he takes with this story.
But here's the funny part right here, Scott. According to Wheeler's personal website, he is a member of Jericho City of Praise, a conservative Christian megachurch in Landover, Maryland, whose leadership publicly advocates against equal rights for gays and lesbians. The website details Wheeler's 500-plus appearances on MSNBC, Court TV, and Fox News Channel shows, including The O'Reilly Factor, On the Record with Greta Van Susteren and Hannity and Combs.
Well, you know what that means, John. Yeah. Stefan C. turned us on to this. That means projection.
Right.
That means this guy is an ex-gay. He went to this church and they somehow took his gay feelings away, which he still struggles with
right.
every day. So that's why he's got to go around screaming about lesbian gangs.
He's not only black, he is gay. Fox News officials and Bill O'Reilly did not return emails seeking comment for the story. O'Reilly is quoted on Wheeler's website heralding Wheeler as America's most recognized and trusted authority on crime analysis and law enforcement.
That's a bunch of shit.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
O'Reilly.
I just thought that was.
Sun goes up, sun goes down.
We know how that works.
Dick goes in, dick comes out.
My ass. Thank you so much.
Hey, you suck dick.
What the fuck you in for? Bitch starts sucking.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt, John. All right, turning to science news, I talked about this in part 160 years ago. Huge pseudoscience revolution started. Do you know what I'm talking about, John?
60 years ago. 60 years ago would be 1940.
Let's not do math.
1930
on the show. Okay.
33.
So,
yeah. What's so funny?
Is your math really that bad? It's going to be 1933, 60 years ago.
What would it be then?
1947.
This is 2007.
Right?
Yeah.
Minus 60.
Oh. Durr.
1833.
Well, I'm a child left behind, Scott. I didn't do that's a new math.
It's fuzzy math.
It's a new math. Shut up.
All right, John. Exactly 60 years ago in 1933, in John's universe.
A
light flying aircraft was flying over Cascade Mountains in Washington State at the height of around 3,000 meters, John. Suddenly, a brilliant flash of light illuminated the aircraft. Visibility was good as pilot Kenneth Arnold scanned the sky to find the source of light. He saw a group of 9 shiny metallic objects flying in formation. He estimated their speed as being 2,600 kilometers per hour, however fast that is, nearly 3 times faster than the top speed of any jet aircraft at the time. Soon, similar reports began to come in from all over America.
This
wasn't just the world's first UFO sighting, John. This was the birth of a phenomenon. A phenomenon.
In 1933.
One that still exercises an extraordinary fascination. Military authorities issued a press release which began, the many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday when the intelligence officer of the 509th Bomb Group of the Air Force Roswell Army Airfield was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc.
Ooh.
The headline screamed, "Flying disc captured by Air Force." Yet, just 24 hours later,
God.
The military changed their story and claimed the object they first thought was a flying disc was a weather balloon that crashed on a nearby ranch.
Was a disc? No,
the
weather balloon.
The key witness was Major Jesse Marcel.
That's right.
The intelligence officer who had gone to the ranch to recover the wreckage. He described the metal as being wafer thin, but incredibly tough. It was light and light as balsa wood, but couldn't be cut or burned. These and similar accounts of the incident have largely been dismissed by all except the most dedicated believers, John. And this really started the UFO phenomenon here in the States. And I remember in the early 70s. I'm going to do your calculations. Early 70s. It really picked up steam again.
No. When you fuck up, you can't go, I'm going to do it. Let's see. I can't figure it out. So I'll just say, according to your calculations.
Yeah, according to the way John calculates math.
In the early 70s, 1967.
And it's kind of died down recently. I mean, if you talk to people who really believe in aliens, they're really on the fringe. Whack jobs.
Yeah.
But get this, John, astonishing new twist. Astonishing. Last week came the astonishing new twist of the Roswell mystery. Lieutenant Walter Hutt was the public relations officer at the base in 1947, was the man who issued the original subsequent press release after the crash on the orders of the base commander, William Blanchard.
No.
Hutt died last year, but he left a sworn affidavit to be opened only after his death. Last week, the text was released and asserts that the weather balloon claim was a cover story.
No.
And that a real object had been recovered by the military and stored in a hangar. He described seeing not just the craft, but alien bodies. He wasn't the first Roswell witness to talk about alien bodies. Local undertaker Glenn Dennis had long claimed that he was contacted by authorities at Roswell shortly after the crash and asked to provide a number of child-sized coffins. When he arrived at the base, he was apparently told by a nurse, who later disappeared, John, that a UFO had crashed and that a small humanoid extraterrestrials had been recovered. But Hutt is the only one of the original participants to claim to have seen alien bodies.
Wow.
What about that, man?
Wow.
Huh? What about that?
Have you ever seen that video, Alien Autopsy?
Yeah, that's a fraud.
I know.
We got to do something like that.
I know. When I was working with a bunch of guys some years back, they swore to God that was fucking real, man. Then, of course, it came out on videotape, and then they explained how they did all that shit.
Right. Then what did they say?
No, dude, they had to do that, you know? It was like I was telling you the story about Penn Jillette telling the story how he used to do seances, and then people would come up to him afterwards, and he'd say, this is all fake. We're going to trick you. This is fake. And they all came up to him later. Yeah, we know because of government reasons and stuff. You got to say
you
that.
You had to say that.
You had to say that. But
can you do a seance for me?
Yeah, could you seance me right now?
And again, it goes back to the belief system. If they really believe this stuff, immediately when a story like this comes out, or with the video, the story with the video comes out, it's a fraud. That fits into, well, they have to do
right. The confirmation bias kicks in,
and then but their answer gets so convoluted and twisted when you know it's the simplest answer is usually right. Isn't that Occam's razor, John?
Yeah,
I believe it is. This guy also spoke about the
Occam's
cleanup
razor,
operation,
the easiest.
Where for months afterwards, military personnel scoured both crash sites searching for all remaining pieces of debris, removed them, and erased all signs that anything unusual occurred.
Wow.
Whoa. And he says the weather balloon was a big cover-up, baby. Big cover-up story.
That was the hoax. That was the hoax.
Who the fuck said that?
Yeah.
Who's the slimy little communist?
Skeptics, of course, will dismiss.
Who just signed his own death warrant?
The testimony left by Hutt. After all, fascinating though it is, John, it's just a story.
Right.
There's no proof. Still, no proof. And we are men of science, and this is the pseudoscience science episode. So until an alien walks in here, or signs up and downloads our podcast and joins the forum, we do not believe. I do believe that there is life elsewhere in the universe. Just not close enough to make contact
right.
with us. That's all I'm saying,
what
John.
What are you saying?
That's all I'm saying. I'm going to turn to Islam now.
You're going to turn to Islam?
I'm going to turn to Islam because
all right.
We talked about the Creation Museum where they talk about a 6,000-year-old planet and they have dinosaurs walking with man. And this is some form of warp science that we have here in the States by these...
What do you mean there are no aliens?
Lunatics.
I am an alien. My name is Xenu.
Xenu. Oh, right.
Yes.
You're the most famous alien of all.
Famous alien of them all.
As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Xenu...
How dare you deny me this right?
If it wasn't for Xenu, we wouldn't even be here. Because
you hail me, Xenu.
Xenu brought the if you're just
look at my green skin.
Xenu, do you want to tell the story or do you want me to?
It's very confusing.
Anyway, 75 million years ago, Xenu. All right, this is according to Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard.
There are no aliens.
Xenu, 75 million years ago, wanted to get rid of like 13 million people.
13 million.
Which we figured would really, it would be like a fire sale because it would take all this tax revenue away from the society.
That was in the movie, wasn't it? Fire sale.
Fire sale, right. So he flew them on... spaceships resembling
DC-10s.
DC-737s, I thought.
737 DC something or other. They look like planes.
Actually, I got my numbers wrong. It was 13 trillion. 13 trillion. And then how many flights that took? I don't know. Anyway, he took all these people and he... to Earth. And he put them around... He put them around volcanoes, and then he detonated the volcanoes and killed them all.
Son, I want you to stop interrupting Scott's famous
story. But what happened?
Dad, you're
such a fucking fist.
I'm honored that Xenu knows me by first name.
I know. Well, I know everything. I'm an alien.
So then you're like a god.
God told me.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Does the same God that we have talk to you?
We have many gods.
Oh, we only have one. Well, I take that back.
L. Ron Hubbard is our God.
There you go. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And then when he killed these people, it released the thetans, which inhabit us today.
That's right.
And because of their evil spirits, we do evil things
right.
Masturbate compulsively and things like that. It's because of the thetans. It's not because of evolution. It's because of the thetans.
We need to come clear.
clear.
Exercise
right on.
The fetus.
All right, man. Well,
I have to go ahead.
How'd you get here?
I flew in my disc.
Did you know those? Did you know those cats who crashed in Roswell? Were you familiar with them?
Settle down. Yes, they were. Well, it was my great grandfather.
Really?
Yes, but I have to be going now.
All right. What was his name? Your great grandfather?
Well, Frank. Frank Johnson.
Oh, it's a very common name here.
Son, please. I have to go, my son.
I got one more question.
I
got to
get a happy meal for this little prick.
You hang out with us. Yes. You surprise us.
Yes.
Do you hang out with Tom Cruise, John Travolta? You hang out with those guys?
Of course I do.
Yeah?
I helped them with Battlefield Earth.
Oh, that's right. I haven't seen that movie yet.
I did a cameo in Battlefield Earth.
I haven't seen that. I got to...
Yes. I was Ensign number 2.
It's out of sight.
Ensign number 2.
Ensign.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Number 2. Okay, gotta go now.
All right. Do I need have to worry about radiation or anything?
No, everything's fine.
All right.
Let's get in my vehicle.
It sounds like our time machine.
Yeah, it's very similar.
That sounds just like our time machine.
Very similar.
I think he's stealing the time machine, goddammit.
Is Zeno going to go back into time?
I don't know.
Does he have it set to 75 million years?
I don't know what he's doing.
Well, oh, hey! I'm going, fellas! Later!
Dude, what the fuck's going on? That was really weird. Okay, all of a sudden you ask about an alien, and then one shows up. What kind of power do you have?
It's not me. It's the podcast, man. We're worldwide.
Worldwide. We're universal.
I'm sure God drops our name, you know, when he hangs out. Hey, did you hear the latest John
yeah,
and
no,
Scott?
No.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of shit.
So he's talking to Zeno. They're sitting around. So you got Zeno, Satan, and JC, and they're all shooting the shit, right?
Right.
All right, well.
I guess that's the way it works.
That's how they roll, I guess.
All right, now getting back to science and Islam. Now, you think we got some fringe lunatics here that try to purport science. Purport? Anyway, we also have skeptics that say, hey, you're full of ass shit.
Hey, nice sensor, you fucking face. Full of ass. That's nice.
And
you suck dick.
They get laughed at in this country. We laugh at them.
We throw poo-poo in their direction.
But you go over to Islam, and I pulled this article out of the latest Discover magazine, which I think I'm going to subscribe to, John.
I used to subscribe to Discover.
Science and Islam. All over the world, no matter what the culture or language differences, science is more or less guided by the scientific principles, except in Islamic countries. Guess what it's guided by there, John?
Islam.
The Quran.
The Quran.
There is no conflict between Islam and science.
Do they talk like that?
Zegahul El Zegahul El declares.
Oh, dude,
that's his name.
El
science is.
So he's a Mexican black guy.
I don't know what
El-Nigger?
He is. Science is Inquisition.
That's not nice.
It's running after the unknown. Islam encourages seeking knowledge. It's considered an act of worship. What people
worship,
call the scientific method, he explains, is really the Islamic method.
Islamic.
All the wealth of knowledge in the world.
Now he's German. Oh, he's a German.
In the world.
Islamic.
Has actually emanated from Muslim civilization.
From
the Prophet Muhammad said to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. The very first verse came down. Read. John. R-E-A-D, read.
Read.
You are required to try to know something about your creator through meditation, through analysis, experimentation, and observation. All right, so I'm like, okay, they're not as wacky as the Christians over here with their creation museum. But get this, John.
I'm getting it.
The Islamic world looms large in the history of science, and there were long periods when, I don't even know how to pronounce that, was a leading star in the Arabic universe of learning. Islam is in many ways more tolerant of scientific study than is Christian fundamentalism. It does not, for example, argue that the world is only 6,000 years old. Cloning research that does not involve people is becoming more widely accepted. So I'm thinking, okay, they got their shit together over there in Islam, right?
Yeah.
But then here's what El Nagar says.
El Nagar, it's probably not El.
Cloning, in recent times, knowledge in Egypt has waned. And who is accountable for the decline, John? Is it Islam?
No, I don't know.
We are not behind because of Islam, he says. We are behind because of what the Americans and the British have done to us. The evil West is a common refrain. Oh, the evil West is a common refrain. Who paradoxically often appears in a suit and tie, although he's wearing a pale green suit when we meet. He says that he grieves for Western colleagues who spend all their time studying their areas of specialization but neglect their souls. Sets his teeth on how the West has legitimized homosexuality. You are bringing man far below the level of animals, he laments. As a scientist, I see the danger coming from the West, not the East. And then this guy wrote some papers, and in one of them, he interprets holy verse and sayings of the prophet and the Sunni.
Hello?
Or customs.
Hello?
I'm sorry, the papooch just called.
The papooch! I'm in the middle of my science story about Islam.
I'm so sorry.
It's all about timing, John. It's about timing.
I'm sorry. You just called. It came on. I can't help it.
All right. Well, hold on to your panties there, okay? Where was I?
Go ahead and read
God
your
damn
Islamic.
It. shit.
You were just talking about the Islam.
Yeah, a common device in
about
Islamic science is to cite examples of how the Quran anticipated modern science. Did you know that, John?
No.
Intuiting hard facts without modern equipment or technology. Each of them, the moon and the sun, floats along in its own orbit. El Nader writes, talked about all these cosmic facts in such accurate scientific style at a period of time when people thought that the Earth was flat and stationary. This is definitely one of the signs which testifies to the truthfulness of the message of Muhammad. Elsewhere, he notes the prophet's reference to the seven Earths.
Wow.
Claims that geologists say the Earth's crust consists of seven zones. Another passage, the prophet said there are 360 joints in the body.
Joints.
And other Islamic researchers claim that medical science backs up that figure. Such knowledge, the thinking goes, could only have been given by God. Of course, critics are quick to point out that Islamic scientists tend to use each other as sources, creating an illusion
that
the work has
good.
Been validated by research. The existence of 360 joints is, in fact, not accepted in medical communities. The actual number is 307. And geologists these days divide the Earth's crust into 15 major zones, not seven.
Wow.
El Nagar even sees moral meaning in the earthquake that triggered the 2005 tsunami and washed away nearly a quarter of a million lives. Plate tectonics and global warming be damned. God had expressed his wrath over the sins of the West.
Wow.
Why then had God punished Southeast Asia rather than Los Angeles or the coast of Florida?
That is one big pile of shit.
His answer? Because the lands that were hit had tolerated immoral behavior of tourists.
Wow.
So that's science in Islam.
Science in Islam.
Science in Islam. And then there's this other guy, Bade. Washid Badawe.
Badawe.
He specializes in solar energy conservation. And he is not an Islamic scientist like El Nagar. He is a scientist who happens to be devout, but sees a discrete difference between religion and science.
Wow.
And here's what he says, John.
What does he have to say?
He says, hold on, let me get to the page here. Oh, when asked, what about, say, evolutionary biology or Darwinism? He says, if you are asking if Adam and Eve came from a monkey, no.
No, Bush did.
Man did not come from monkey. I am religious. If I agree with Islam, then I have to respect all the ideas of Islam. The one of those ideas is the creation of human form, Adam and Eve. If I am a scientist, I have to believe that. So nobody can just write what he thinks without proof, John. But we have real proof that the story of Adam as the first man is true. What proof, I ask.
We have real proof.
He looks at me with disbelief. It is written in the Quran.
Fuck, no!
So these are...
No two, different than Pat Robertson.
Two of the top scientists in Islam. And if it doesn't agree with Quran, then it's not science.
No good. It's crap.
The science has to back up the Quran. If that's not science, John. That is not science.
If it doesn't agree with the Quran, it's crap.
Now, Papooch, you're an evolutionary kind of guy, right? You're into the scientific method?
Yeah.
Critical thinking?
But of course.
But of course. Homosexuality, is it a choice or is it a genetic? Speaking from experience.
Well, I know you're speaking from experience.
Go ahead.
We've had this discussion many times, and unfortunately, I think that you are the anomaly because I think you were trained to be a homosexual as opposed to genetically being made that way.
And what master would train me?
To me.
What master, what sensei of homosexuality?
I'm thinking
could it be you?
Swimsuits. No, it wouldn't be me. I wasn't your prison bitch.
You never wore a Speedo, Papooch?
I did before puberty.
Before puberty.
I kind of gave up with it, you know, when I left school, unlike you.
Before you got a giant cock and it couldn't fit in your pants.
Right.
So what's going on with you, Papooch?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Papooch live from Connecticut. Is that correct?
Nothing. I actually went to plug in my iPod to charge it, and I saw that you guys called, so I figured I would call back.
Oh, you Skype called this guy?
I by accident.
Hey, we called you by accident, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wreck your science news.
It's a very important story about Islam.
I could tell.
Very important. So when are we coming back to the NY area?
Dude, anytime you want.
No doubt.
Allison Ouellette was just here last weekend from South Carolina.
That's where she moved, huh?
Yep.
I have no idea who that is.
It's a chick from high school, man.
High school.
Yeah.
She
lived in Arizona. We used to hang out there. Her husband worked for the water treatment plant or something. I don't know.
He's doing the same thing for in South Carolina.
Nice. So she came out to visit you?
Yeah, and they brought the family.
Oh,
her,
they got a family.
Scott, the baby.
They're still married?
They are still married.
Oh. Oh, bummer.
Sorry.
Anyway. we were just talking a couple weeks ago about Scott, his balls bouncing up and down on the planks on the Brooklyn Bridge because of you.
Hey, I got even with him. He asked to go rollerblading. He went rollerblading.
What did you have to get even with me about? I don't understand.
Because you're a stroke.
I'm a stroke.
Because you're a stroke. Listen to him with his New York accent. Hey, you're a stroke. Hey.
Every now and then, I have to.
You have to even
the score
with the stroke.
The stroke.
You tee me up for months on end, and then all of a sudden. You know,
so when you backed up,
it was the first time Scott ever met you. I think
when you backed up into the pillar and the door ripped off your car, was that another way to get even with me?
No, that was Joe getting even with me, which he still won't own up to the fact that it just mysteriously happened.
Well, you didn't close the door yet, and you were already moving the car. Tony,
fair enough. And yes, John, I still remember. Yeah, we'll have to wear our seatbelts so we can throw the the door in the trunk, but Tony will take us to the airport.
What?
Right.
All right, well, we got to take it to part three, man.
You going to stick around? Yeah, hello.
Where'd you go?
Are you going to stick around?
Yo.
Yeah, for a game of shit or Shinola?
Yeah.
All right.
John's undefeated.
Sure, I didn't know how
Did long you know John's undefeated?
I know. I heard it yesterday with Mason and Larry.
Oh, sorry. Listening to the show with the armed services.
That's right.
All right, well, we'll be right back. All right?
I'll be here.
All right, hold on.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last quick way. At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.